So we left off last time discussing the question of when exactly is a woman Mikabel Shabbos, Mikabela Shabbos, is the act of lighting, that was the Shita of the Bahag. The Bahag Shita was that the minute she lights the candles, that is a Kabbalah of Shabbos. We said that the Shulchan Aruch seems to not accept the Shita of the Bahag. The Shulchan Aruch holds, like the Rosh, like the Balei Tosfos, that a woman's Mekabel HaShabbos when the community is Mekabel HaShabbos, when they say, when her husband in shul says Baruchu, or nowadays when you say Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, lighting candles is not Mekabel HaShabbos. Lighting candles is something that you do before Shabbos. It's not a Kabbalah of Shabbos. And we said that in general, Ashkenazim Paskin like the Bahag, at least for the woman who's lighting. The rest of the family is not bound. But the woman of the house is bound by lighting the candles. And that is the general shita of the Ashkenazim. The Sfardim in general follow the view of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch's view, the woman's not Mekabel HaShabbos when she lights candles. But Shabbos happens when it happens for her family, when Shabbos comes in, when the community accepts it through davening. What we're going to talk about, we're going to begin talking about this evening, is in that Ramah, and if you want to follow along with us, we're in Reish Samach Gimel, Yud. Reish Samach Gimel, Simin Reish Samach Gimel, Sif Yud. So let's take a look at the Ramah. V'haminog. The woman who lights candles, she is mekabel shabbos with her hadlaka. Imlo shetasne tchila v'afilu tenai b'leib sagi. Unless she makes a tenai, unless she makes a condition, and even a tenai b'leib is okay. Aval shar b'nei adam, shar b'nei abayis, everyone else in the family is mutarn b'malacha ad barchu. They're able to continue doing malacha until barchu. So here, the Ramah introduces to us the idea of a tenai. So I'd like to talk about that for a couple of minutes. What does that mean, a tenai? So a tenai means that a woman stipulates explicitly, and I shouldn't even say stipulates explicitly because we're about to say that it can even work belief. But theoretically, a tenai is a stipulation that even though I'm doing an act that is traditionally assumed to be an acceptance of Shabbos, i.e. lighting the candles, I am stipulating that I am not being Mekabel Shabbos, Mekabel HaShabbos with this lighting. That is the basic structure of a tenai. And as the Ramah points out, afilu tenai b'lev sagi, even to make a tenai inside, meaning she doesn't have to verbalize it. Even if she's just thinking it, it's going to work, and she will not be in a Kabbalah Shabbos with lighting of candles. Again, if she's Sephardi, she's not Mekabel HaShabbos anyway. But if she's Ashkenazi, and the minhag is that the woman is Mekabel HaShabbos, so she wouldn't be if she makes a tenai. Now, in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he points out that even though the Ramah says you can make a tenai in your heart, you can make a tenai in your heart, in your head, but you should realize this is a great example of it. Lev, in the Lashon of Chazal, generally means the mind, not the heart. Might be surprising to hear that. But, for instance, a tenai b'lev doesn't mean a tenai in your heart. It's not like a romantic moment with Kabbalah Shabbos. Tenai b'lev means in your head. We have a very famous sefer, Chovos HaLevavos, beautiful sefer. What's it about? It's about intellectual perceptions that you have to have. Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Yediyas Hashem. We say, Libi Omar Li, my heart tells me. My heart tells me means my mind tells me. So you'll see that's Lo Sasur Achrei Levavchem, Chazal Darshan, is not to follow Apikarsus. What's Apikarsus? It's mistaken philosophies. Now, obviously, in each of these examples, a person's heart, person's passions, sometimes influence. So there is this interplay between the heart and the mind. But lev, this is a great example. Tenai b'lev means that you have to verbalize in your head. That's why verbalize is not the right word. You have to stipulate in your mind, at least, that there's a tenai. And the Sefer Shmir Shabbos points out that means that you have to think, even if you're just thinking and you're not verbalizing it, you have to think a tenai, meaning, I am not accepting Shabbos with this lighting. And he says, not I'm going to still turn on the air conditioning after I light, right? There's a big difference between those two things. To light the candles and say, I'm lighting candles, but I'm still going to turn on the air conditioning, that's not making a Tanai of Kabbalah Shabbos. That's saying, I'm accepting Shabbos and I'm going to do Malacha after Shabbos. I'm lighting candles, but I'm still going to turn on the air conditioning. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says, you have to say, I am not in your head. Again, not say, but you have to think in your head, I am not accepting Shabbos with this lighting. So even though the Ramah allows you not to verbalize the Tanai, you still have to think what the Tanai is. And the Tanai is not, I'm going to do Malacha. The Tanai is, I am not accepting Shabbos. And the Shmir Shabbos goes out of his way to point out that there's a distinction between those two things. Okay. If you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah in Mem Dalid, so he says, right in the bottom of the page here, Ein lehasnos ki im litzorech. The Ramah, he's quoting here from the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham was of the opinion that because there is a dispute in the poskim about whether a Tanai really works, so the Mishnah Berurah is machmir for the Magen Avraham that one should not make a Tanai unless you really need to. Meaning you shouldn't take it lightly. We have to define what it means, litzorech. What does it mean, litzorech? But there has to be a tzorech in order to make a Tanai. And the Machzis HaShekel in the Shulchan Aruch has an interesting proof for this idea. He says, remember what the Ramah said about the order of making the bracha? What did he say to do for Ashkenazim? You light the candles and then you make the bracha. Which is strange, because generally we do mitzvah, we make bracha over l'asiyasa, and generally you make the bracha before you do the action. Here you're doing the action and then making the bracha. Why? Because we assume that the lighting is going to be mekabel Shabbos. And therefore, once you're mekabel Shabbos the bracha, we're choshesh that the bracha is mekabel Shabbos. And once you make the bracha, then maybe you can't light. So you light first and make the bracha after. That's the shita of the Ramah. Now wait a second. You can make a Tanai, so just make a Tanai that you're not being mekabel Shabbos until after you're done lighting. And then you can make a bracha and then light the candles. That would be more ideal, wouldn't it? Meaning, if it was really lechachila to make a Tanai, the Ramah wouldn't have to come up with this whole lumdus of let's light the candles first and then make the bracha, because maybe when you make the bracha first, you're mekabel Shabbos and then you're stuck. So we're going to light candles and then make the bracha, which is not lechachila. It's not really over l'asiyasan. So why would we do that if you could make a Tanai? Ella, it must be that we generally do not look favorably upon making a Tanai. And we try to avoid making a Tanai, or else it would just be standard. The woman would make a Tanai, make the bracha, light candles, and that would be it. Everything would be great. So that's his raya, that it might not be so ideal to make a Tanai. Yeah, go ahead, Shapsi.
Even though that the lashon of the Ramah is lechatchila, I'm saying he's not mashma in those words, that it's not
lechatchila. Correct, 100%, that's correct. And the Machzis HaShekel is trying to argue a raya that the Ramah agrees that it's not lechatchila because of this other psak. But you're right, within the lashon of the Ramah here, it doesn't sound that way. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. And I'll point out another thing in terms of making a Tanai, and that is that we already saw in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa that if you light candles before the Zman, meaning way before the Zman, an hour early, so then he feels that it's not lechatchila to make a Tanai. Why? Because when you light so early, it's not nicker that you're lighting lechavod Shabbos. And my father pointed out that nowadays maybe it is, because no one's lighting candles these days. But again, that's what the Shmir Shabbos brings down, that when you light so early, it's not nicker that you're lighting for Shabbos. And therefore, if you're accepting Shabbos with your lighting, the Seder, then it's clear that you're accepting Shabbos. And it's clear that you're lighting lechavod Shabbos. But if you light an hour early and you're not even mekabel Shabbos with that lighting, because you make a Tanai that you're going to accept Shabbos when your husband accepts Shabbos in an hour from now, so it's bechlal, not nicker, that the lighting is being done, lechavod Shabbos. And therefore the Ramah, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa felt that lechatchila, you should not make a Tanai when you're lighting early. We said that according to the Sfaradim, it doesn't work to make a Tanai. Not only that it's not lechatchila, it doesn't work. And as we said, this has major ramifications for making early Shabbos. If you make early Shabbos, according to the Sfaradim, even b'di'evid, for the Ashkenazim, lechatchila at least, You should not be making a Tanai when you make early Shabbos. Okay, so this is the conclusion of the halacha, that a woman should really only make a Tanai if it's absolutely necessary. And we need to just define, what does it mean, absolutely necessary? How do you define a tzorech? Right, that was the lashon of the Mishabura here. Ein lahasnos kiyam utzorech. What is considered a justified tzorech? So the classic tzorech, I think Shapsi might have pointed it out in an earlier week, is to daven mincha. The woman has not yet davened mincha yet. She wants to light candles, but she doesn't want to accept Shabbos, because once she accepts Shabbos, she can't daven mincha anymore. I can daven mincha of chol if it's already Shabbos. So she can light candles al tenai, and then daven mincha. That would be one situation that the post can say.
When is she mekabel Shabbos?
So she can say, again, she doesn't say, I'm lighting candles, but I'm still going to daven mincha. That would not be a tenai. Tanai would be, I'm not accepting Shabbos until after I daven mincha.
As soon as she's finished, Shabbos kicks in.
Exactly, right? Or she could theoretically say, I'm not being mekabel Shabbos until my husband's mekabel Shabbos in shul. This week, I'm not being accepting Shabbos early. But in general, the minug of the Noshim Tzidkonios of Klal Yisrael is that they're mekabel Shabbos early. They all start out, right? The husband's rushing out, trying to catch mincha, tying his tie, running out of the house. And the woman's already sitting on the couch, relaxed, because she lit candles, and that's it. She was in the Kabbalah Shabbos. That's the minhag. So we try to, you know, that's very nice. What's another example of a tzorech? So I heard, Rav Baruch Yosef asked, even in Yerushalayim, 40 minutes before Shkia. So for Ashkenazim, it's Pashit that to light 40 minutes before Shkia is not too early, because that's the Zman. That's not called lighting early, that's the Zman. But we said that the Sephardim felt 30 minutes, and there was a whole vikuach about the 40 minutes, because the Sephardim, in Yalkut Yosef, he writes before 30 minutes, it's considered too early. But that's for the Sephardim. Okay. I heard B'Shem, Rav Herschel Schechter, that Rav Schechter said that he thought it's Pashit, that preparing the Shabbos food or helping the kids get ready for Shabbos is considered a tzorech. A woman's running late, and she wants to, she has a few last things she needs to do in Shabbos preparation, or the kids need some help in the shower, and she wants to light candles because she doesn't want to get too close, right? For the woman, the biggest disaster would be that if she misses out on lighting Shabbos candles, she has to light another light every week in the future. She doesn't want to come to that. She wants to know that the Shabbos candles are lit. But, you know, one kid is, you know, the shower is too hot, and there's something, you know, the chalon still has to go back onto the blech, so she can light candles, and that would be a fair Sorech to light al tanai and say, you know what, this week I'm not going to be Makabel Shabbos until my husband's Makabel Shabbos or until I finish with the Shabbos preparations. Just a very fascinating, it's practical for those of us perhaps who live in Yerushalayim, but I don't live in Yerushalayim, but for those who do live in Yerushalayim, it might be practical, but it's just an interesting case that's brought down explicitly in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. A woman wants to know, can she, and it might be surprising, she wants to light candles early in order to take a taxi to the Kotel. Her and her husband want to daven at the Kotel. So what's she going to do about lighting candles? So she wants to light candles, take a cab to the Kotel. So she'll light al tanai. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa is against it. Fascinating. He's against it. His first reason is, as we've pointed out, you're clearly lighting before the Zman. If you're going to get in a cab and get to the Kotel with enough time to walk to the Kotel and daven mincha, you're lighting way before the Zman. And we already said it's not l'chachilo to light early before the Zman and make a Tanai. That's point number one. Point number two, and I'm surprised, but Shlomo Zalman, he quotes, said that davening at the Kotel is not enough of a tzorech to make a Tanai. Fascinating. The Tzitz Eliezer argues on Shlomo Zalman in the Tshuva, and it's in your Makoro sheets, and he writes that of course that's a tzorech. He says it's very inspirational for a person to daven at the Kotel, Mokam HaMikdash. Of course that's a tzorech. It's interesting, but Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that's not enough of a tzorech. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is setting the bar very high for a tzorech if davening at the Kotel is not considered a tzorech. I guess we would say it's a luxury. It's not a tzorech. It's not a need. Could be that's what he would say. Okay. Someone asked a very interesting question. I was talking to somebody during the week, and he asked, how does a single person make early Shabbos? because you can't light candles before plag. It's a single man. So he wants to go to shul to daven mincha before plag. Okay, so he could daven at 1:15. You know, he can daven really early. But if he wants to go to the early Shabbos minyan, so he can't light before plag. He lights. So he goes to shul, davens mincha. Now he needs to light candles. When's he supposed to light candles? Where is he supposed to light candles? So if he's eating at someone's house for the Friday night meal, okay, he's covered by the balas habayis of the house he's eating at. But if he's eating in his own apartment, so what's he supposed to do? So I heard from, as I referred to him, the real Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz from North Woodmere. So he told me that he has in his community some single men who are not married, and he advises them, if they can, if they live close by, to go home. They come to shul for mincha, and during Kabbalah Shabbos, they go home, they light, and they come back to shul. Very interesting. Interesting question. Okay. Last, regarding tonight, this is the Shulchan Aruch in Yud Aleph. So let's flip the page. Let's take a look at Yud Aleph. We're going to be going through a couple of seifim here in the Shulchan Aruch tonight. Afa pishlo hispalu hakahal adayin, even though the community is not yet davened, im kodem ayochet vispal shel Shabbos mibod yom, if a person davened marif, chal alav kabbalah Shabbos v'asr me'asiyas melacha, v'afilu im omer she'en erotza lekabel Shabbos. The minute a person davens, the Shabbos davening, kabbalah Shabbos is chal on him, and he's not able to make a tanai and say, I don't want to be mekabel Shabbos. So this is a limitation in your ability to make a tanai. You can make a tanai when you're lighting candles and say, my lighting candles is not counting as a Kabbalah Shabbos. But you cannot daven Shabbos davening and say, I'm doing this al tanai that I'm not being Mekabel Shabbos. Lighting candles, there's room to not accept Shabbos with lighting candles. But davening the Shabbos davening, there's no room. Once you daven the Shabbos davening, that's it. You were Mekabel Shabbos, whether you make a tanai or not. Okay. And the Mishnah Berurah says, because once you're mentioning and davening brachos that have to do with Kedusha Shabbos, so that's it. You're being Mekabel Shabbos. There's nothing then you can do about that. Okay, let's keep going. Moving on here in the Shulchan Aruch. Sif Yud Beis. Im Rov HaKehal Kiblu Aleim Shabbos. If a majority, we've already made reference to this halacha, if a majority of the Tzibur has already accepted upon themselves Shabbos, Hamiyot Nimshachim Achareim Al Karcham. Or the miut, everybody else in the community is automatically drawn after them. Meaning if you're the minority in a community and the community is davening or making Shabbos early, you have to make Shabbos early. You're nigrar after the community. Now in, does davening kabbalah Shabbos mean mizmor shir l'yom haShabbos or starting l'chun ra'anana? So it either means barchu or mizmor shir l'yom haShabbos. As the Shulchan Aruch says, the official din in the Gemara is Baruch Hu, starting the Ma'ariv of davening. But nowadays, that we say Kabbalah Shabbos, the same Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos is considered, but we assume that you're going to say the Mizmor Shir of Shabbos on Shabbos. So once you start saying the Mizmor Shir of Shabbos, that's it, Shabbos. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah in Nun Beis points out, what about nowadays, where we have, Nun Aleph, what about nowadays when we have many shuls in most towns? So he says, "Chein bi'ir sheyesh ba batei knesios harbe, ein achas nimshachas achaverta v'afilu im ba'achas rov." Doesn't matter if you have one shul that has 95% of the community, and then there's a small shtibel that only has 5%. That means that the community is not accepting Shabbos early. Meaning this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is like, you know, the one shul town. You've got a little shtetl, and the whole community is one shul, and the community is starting early. That's it. You're nigrar after them. Nowadays, in I live in Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel, and there's 35 shuls in Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel, 30 shuls in Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel, something like that. Most communities nowadays have more than one shul, and some posts can even point out that sometimes you have one shul, but it has more than one minyan. They have an early minyan, a later minyan. So that's it. Then this halacha doesn't apply. Where does it apply in modern times? It applies mostly in places like bungalow colonies, summer camps. In a summer camp where the whole camp, or in a bungalow, where the whole bungalow colony has one shul and they're all being Mekabel Shabbos early. So that's it. That's binding on everybody else in the community, in the bungalow or in the camp. the you know, you might have it nowadays like on a one of these hotel programs. If you go to like with you know, you go to like Greece with one of these programs and you're in a hotel and the official program is starting Shabbos early. That's it. You're bound by that. That's the minyan. That's the community for the Shabbos. I'll just remind you, we quoted Tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein had a different limitation on this halacha. He thought this whole halacha only applies if people are being mekabel Shabbos letzorech mitzvah. They love Shabbos. They want to have tosefa Shabbos. So they bring in Shabbos early. But if they're just doing it for convenience sake, so he thought this halacha wasn't binding. That would mean that even in bungalow colonies and camps, if they're starting Shabbos early just because everybody wants to feed the kids early, so then it wouldn't be binding either. It's only, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein at least, it's only if they're doing it in order for Tosefa Shabbos. I guess he assumed that in the times of the Shulchan Aruch, that was the reason that they were bringing Shabbos in early. Okay, halacha Yud Gimel here, Sif Yud Gimel, Adam Shabal Ir Be'erev Shabbos, Ukfar Kiblu Anche Ha'ir Alayim Shabbos. This is a fascinating situation you might find yourself in. Let's say you're driving to a bungalow. The bungalow has been Mekabel Shabbos. You don't assume like Rav Moshe. You assume straight up Din and Shulchan Aruch. If the bungalow colony has accepted Shabbos, that's it, it's Shabbos. And you drive up, and when you get to the gate, you see the gate is closed, and you realize that that they've already accepted Shabbos. So what's the din? Afal pi shadayin hayom gadol, even though it's still very light out, im hayu alav mos o shum chayfetz, manicho lipo. Amazing. The second you step into the bounds of the city, it's Shabbos for you. Oh, but I never accepted Shabbos. Doesn't matter. I wasn't even in the city when they accepted Shabbos. I was on the highway. Doesn't matter. As soon as you walk into the city, Shabbos is chal on you. Sounds like a huge chiddush. Says the Shulchan Aruch that if you have money on you, you have to drop it. You can't walk around with money. It's Shabbos for you already. You weren't mekabel Shabbos. You didn't do anything. But you walked in, Shabbos, you're bound by Shabbos. So in Mishnah Berurah Mem Nun Beis here, he lightens it a little bit. He says you can go like straight to your room and put the mux items away. The poskim already point out you don't have to literally drop your wallet and lose all your money. It means if you're able to drop it in a way where it's going to be, it means that you have to quickly as possible discard of your muksa. And okay, again, I don't know. It's not super practical for most of us because most cities that we're in don't have that type of mitzvah. Okay, let's take a look at another sifra two here regarding Kabbalah Shabbos of the Kehila. Yud, no, we're going to be skipping Yud Dalid because it's a case that really doesn't happen nowadays that we have clocks and calendars. It's talking about where it was a very cloudy day and the community thought it was dark out. So they were Makabel Shabbos and then the clouds cleared and they realized it was only 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So now what do they do? So that doesn't really happen nowadays because we have clocks and we have calendars. So let's take a look at Tesvav. Misha Shahal is Palam Mincha Be'erev Shabbos. Let's say you live in one of these towns where they're one shul and they're all being mekabel Shabbos at the same time, early Shabbos, 6 o'clock. And you are a little bit slow with the shower and getting ready for Shabbos. And it's now 6 o'clock. You hear through your window the community, you know, saying Baruch Hu, they're being mekabel Shabbos, and you haven't davened mincha yet. So says the Shulchan Aruch. Lo yispal mincha bi oso beis kinesis. Don't daven in the shul. Ele yelech chutz la oso beis kinesis. Yispal tefila shalchol. You can stand outside of the shul and you can daven your mincha davening. And obviously, this is b'hush lo kibel Shabbos. This is obviously if you weren't mekabel Shabbos. But if you answered to Baruch and you were mekabel Shabbos, then you're stuck. You can't daven mincha anymore. You're going to have to daven two maribs for tashlumin of mincha. You have to daven two Shabbos Marivs, even though you're making up for a Chol Mincha. You're allowed to daven two Shabbos Marivs and make up for the Mincha that you missed. So again, what was this halacha just now? This halacha was the community accepted Shabbos, but you didn't. If you want to daven Mincha, which you should, as long as you weren't Mekabel Shabbos, you just can't do it in the shul. You know, in the shul, it's already Shabbos. In the shul, it would be strange. It would be negating what they're doing, you can't do it in the shul. But you could step outside the shul and daven outside the shul. Now, the first thing I'm sure a bunch of you are thinking is, wait a second. What's the question? What are people thinking? Wait a second. If I'm in a community that accepted Shabbos early, doesn't he have a problem of two minyanim in the same period? Oh, he has. Okay. That's because, right? I thought we just learned a few halachos ago that if you're in a community that accepted Shabbos early, it's binding on you. So what is the Shulchan Aruch now talking about and saying, if you live in a community that accepted Shabbos early and you didn't daven mincha yet, so just don't daven, what do you mean just don't daven mincha in front of them? How can you daven mincha at all? Weren't you drawn after the community? Don't you have to daven, isn't it Shabbos for you already? So the Be'er Halacha notes this stira. Take a look at the Be'er Halacha. And he says, this is not a kasha, misif yidbeis. The yachid nigrar achar harov. We're in the Be'er Halacha next to the Mishnah Berurah. Lo kasha misif yidbeis. This is not a kasha from sif yidbeis. The yachid nigrar achar harov. Because the yachid nigrar achar harov, excuse me, rak linyan melacha. That's only regarding melacha. But linyan tfila, you could still daven. You could still daven. Be'er Halacha says a very interesting distinction here. When we said that you're drawn after the community's Kabbalah Shabbos, that means that you're not allowed to do malacha. But you're still allowed to daven mincha. Meaning, you're not really fully drawn after the community. It's now quasi-Shabbos. Right? We now have a quasi-Shabbos in halacha. There's an Isra malacha, but you're still allowed to daven mincha of chol. Fascinating reality. But the Be'er Halacha has to say something like that, or else it's a stira in the Shulchan Aruch. In Yud Beis, he said, when the community accepts Shabbos, that's it. You're drawn after the community. And here he says, when the community accepts Shabbos, and you still need to daven mincha, just don't do it in front of them. What do you mean, just don't do it in front of them? Okay. Right. As my father's pointing out, you might also start getting into a problem here with plag and with the different zmanim. How are you going to daven mincha? Maybe you'll daven marv much later. Maybe that's you're going to be only your option. You're going to have to daven marv much later. Right, exactly. Hold on 1 second, Baruch Yosef. I want to hear your ha'ar. Let me just finish the point here. So this halacha actually is very common. You might think, like, when's this going to happen to me? So it does happen on a certain level when we sometimes get to shul late, and the shul is, let's say, they're up to the rabbi's speech. You know, they daven mincha, they daven Kabbalah Shabbos, and now the rav is speaking. And you get there and you haven't daven mincha yet. So where do you daven mincha? You're going to daven mincha b'yichidus. So that's like the minog in Klal Yisrael, is to daven in the hallway, right? You always get to the shul, and they're finishing up Kabbalah Shabbos, and there's three guys still davening mincha in the hallway. So the poskim say that davening in the hallway is not okay. That's this halacha. That's called davening mincha in a shul that's already accepted Shabbos. The poskim discuss the Ezra's Nashim. They're interesting. They're a little bit more makel about the Ezra's Nashim. The hallway is an area where people are walking in and out, and they're constantly, you know, people see you davening mincha when the community's already started Shabbos. The Ezra's Nashim, if there's no women there, or there's no men there that are davening as part of the minyan, just hanging out in the Ezra's Nashim. So the Ezra's Nashim, some poskim discuss, but if you're in a big shul, it would be better to go downstairs to find a corner away from people if you're going to daven mincha. Okay, in terms of, and I'll take Baruch Yosef's ha'ara, there's just one more sif here about this topic. What if you're bala based kinesis? We're in Tezayin now. What if you're bala based kinesis? Samach lekabalas at Sibor Shabbos. You get there and they're about to start. Right? The case we just read is you got to shul and they had already accepted Shabbos. What if you get to shul and they're about to, 45 seconds. So maschil espal mincha. You're allowed to start mincha. V'afal pishu ba'odo mispal yikabal tzibur Shabbos. And even though when you're in the middle of your Shmona Esrei, they're going to be mekabel Shabbos. Ein bekach klum. That's okay. Ho'il behischil behetter. Since you started behetter. This is just another detail in this case. You see, it must be that back then people came to shul a lot also. I mean, we just had two se'ifim here about people coming late to shul. They come late to shul, the community is already davening, they're already davening Shabbos davening. So if you get there after they started, you have to daven privately someplace else. If they haven't started yet, you're able to start, even though you will, lamaisa, be davening while they're once they've accepted Shabbos. Okay, Baruch Yosef, I saw you had a question. I wasn't able to read it quickly enough. You wrote, I'm pulling it up here, that doesn't work for candle lighting for the women, that they can light for not doing melacha, but yes for mincha. You're right. Oh, excellent. Very good, Hara. This quasi-Shabbos idea that we just spoke about, we said that when the community is mekabel Shabbos, the Isra Malacha is binding on you, but your Chovas Tefillah, you can still be Yotzei your Mincha. So that is, Rav Baruch Yosef is pointing out that that's not true when it comes to the woman lighting. When a woman lights, it's all or nothing. It's except for a Shabbos. She also can't daven Mincha. Correct. Good point. Okay. The last sif in Simen Reish Samach Zayin, Reish Samach Gimel, excuse me, the last sif is a topic that we talked about, and I'm just going to mention it. We're going to go through it quickly here. We've discussed it already a little bit. We at least referenced it. Yesh Omrim, Shemi Shekibel of Shabbos Kodem Shechashecha, someone who makes early Shabbos, Mutter Lomar Li Yisrael Chavero Lasos Lomalacha. This is a very important halacha for the early Shabbos makers. If you make Shabbos early, you are allowed to ask your neighbor who has not yet made Shabbos, you're allowed to ask them to do malacha for you. Why would you think that you can't? Well, the most basic reason why you think that you can't is because you, as someone who's already accepted Shabbos, are not allowed to discuss doing malacha on Shabbos. We learned there's an isra of dabru davar. You're not supposed to, diburcha b'chol, b'Shabbos is not supposed to be like your dibur during the week. You're not supposed to, on Shabbos, a lot of people don't know this halacha, you're not supposed to talk about doing malacha on Shabbos. And forget about planning. There's also an issue of planning to do malacha. Even if you're not planning, you're not supposed to discuss doing malacha on Shabbos. And that's one of the reasons why there's a problem of Amir La'akum. One of the reasons. One of the reasons is because you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do malacha for you because you're not allowed to speak about doing malacha on Shabbos. There's other reasons why Amir La'akum is a problem. But the Mishnah Berurah here says that in this case, that's not true. You look at the Mishnah Berurah, Samach Dalet. Kevan shelechavero muter, ein iser amira shayach b'zeh. Which is very interesting. Because it's not a malacha for him, that's not called talking about a malacha, even though it's a malacha for you. Which is strange, because for the guy, it's not malacha either. When it comes to talking, telling the guy to do malacha, we consider that a problematic speech. When it comes to talking to a Jew, who it's not malacha for him, so you are allowed to ask him to do malacha. And that is something that I think many people who make early Shabbos take advantage of a lot. They make early Shabbos and they ask their neighbor I forgot to turn on the blech, I forgot to turn off the dude, can you take care of this, can you help me with that? You're able to call them in and ask them to do malacha. The parallel case to this, which is made reference to here, I believe, by the Mishnah Berurah, is talking about when you have a Ben Eretz Yisrael performing malacha for a Ben Chutz Laretz on the second day of Yontiv in Eretz Yisrael, right? Second day of Eretz Yisrael, the second day of Sukkot. For Bnei Eretz Yisrael, it's Chol HaMoed. For Bnei Chutz Laretz, the minog in general is that keep the second day of Yontiv in Eretz Yisrael. So can that Chutz Laretz Jew ask a Ben Eretz Yisrael to do malacha for them? So seemingly, according to the Mishnah Berurah here, it would seemingly be okay. Seemingly be okay, because the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're dealing with a Jew, and for him, it's not malacha, you're allowed to ask him to do malacha for you. So a visiting American, a visiting Canadian, can ask an Israeli, turn on the light for me, make me an omelet. Seemingly that should be okay. That's what it sounds like in the Mishnah Berurah here. Shlomo Zalman writes about this in his Tshuvos. He at first quotes Achronim who forbid it. He brings down that the minog is to be makil. In the end of the tshuva, he advises people to be machmir, not to do it. So it's a big discussion. In general, here in Eretz Yisrael, many, many people are makil to do malacha for Ben Chutz Laretz to ask malacha for it to be done for them. You know, Shlomo Zalman is a little bit hesitant about it, and he advises to be machmir if you can. But as I said, many people are makil, and part of the discussion revolves around the discussion here in the Shulchan Aruch. Just one or two other points about this. One is, this is also true on Motzei Shabbos. If you take a look at the Rama says, "Umutar lehanos meos malacha." You're allowed to get hanaf on the malacha. The kol shekain b'motzei Shabbos, and even more so on Motzei Shabbos. If you have one person who's ma'acher lispalel b'motzei Shabbos, he's davening ma'ar very late. Now he's still having a shalosh shudus. Mutar lomer lechaveiro Yisrael shekfar ispalel v'hivdil lasos lo malachto. Right, you're having it. You're at the Hasidic Rebbe. You're at the Shalashidus, and it's going late, and it's already light, dark out. So the shamish can say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh Lachol and turn off the lights or turn on the lights or light a candle. He's allowed to do that. As soon as he says Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh Lachol, it's no longer Shabbos for him. So then he would be able to do that. That's explicit here in the Ramah. You can get hanaf from the malacha, and he can make an omelet for the Rebbe and bring it to him at the Shal Shudas, and that would be fine for him to eat it, because that's not a problem. There is an interesting discussion Dirshu brings down. Can a father ask his son to do malacha for him? Fascinating question. The father makes early Shabbos. Can he ask his son, who has not yet accepted Shabbos, to do malacha? Why would you say not? Because part of the father's Shabbos is Shvisas Bino. Meaning, I'm a father, and I have a son. Okay, I actually became a father. I actually had a son on Erev Shabbos. So we had a baby a few days ago. So thank you. So the part of my chiyuv of Shabbos is that my son shouldn't do malacha. Even if my son's not bar mitzvah, I have a chiyuv Shvisas Bino. I have a chiyuv that I can't have my kid do malacha. So part of my, just like, again, nothing, you know, obviously I don't mean any offense to my son, but just like my animal is not allowed to work on Shabbos, it's part of my mitzvah that my animal can't work. My son can't work. So in the Dirshu, he quotes from the Mekor Chaim, that the Mekor Chaim says that it could be that a father who is mekabel Shabbos early can't ask his son to do malacha for him, even though the son has not been accepted Shabbos, and even though he can ask the neighbor to. But that's because the neighbor is independent of me. But my son not doing malacha is part of my Shmira Shabbos. So it's like a fascinating situation where my son hasn't accepted Shabbos yet, though. Okay. We only have 3 minutes. I'm just going to very quickly go through Reish Samach Dalet, because I really want to be done with candle lighting, that next week we can start the halachos of Shabbos davening. So just very quickly, because it's really not so applicable nowadays. We're just going to talk about one or two points that are applicable, and that is the question of dinei psilos in the shemen. This is the next siman in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Samach Dalet. We're all familiar with the Mishnah Baal Meh Madlikin that outlines for us all these things that you can light with, you can't light with. Right? We say it in davening on Friday night. Those who are Ashkenazi say it. I believe Sfardim, some do, some don't. But Bame Madlikin. So we have the different wicks and the different fuels that are able to be used for candle lighting and those that are not able to be used for candle lighting. So the basic discussion for us is really just going to be in Sif Vav. In the Shulchan Aruch, he writes in the beginning, he goes through different details of the wicks that aren't so applicable to us. Take a look in Sifav, he says as follows. Shar kol hashmonim chutz me'elu madikin bohem. Besides the things I've listed, you can use any fuels, any oils. We call makom shemen zayis is mitzvah min hamuvchar. And the Gemara says, why do we say shemen zayis, olive oil, is mitzvah min hamuvchar? The Gemara says, because the light is the purest with shemen zayis. Shemen zayis emits a very pure and clear light. It doesn't flicker, and it's the best for lighting candles is with olive oil. That's what the Gemara says. And the criteria is a clear light. And Tosfos comments, it's on your Makoros. Oh, I didn't send you this Makoros. I have to send it to you. The Tosfos points out that olive oil is the best, that everyone agrees the flame burns the best. And the Shulchan Aruch, as we just read, seems to be paskening like Tosfos. He quotes Tosfos here. If you take a look at the little mem, Shemen Zayis is mitzvah min amuvkar to use Shemen Zayis. There's a sefer called the Ktzos HaShulchan, which is the sefer of Rav Avraham Chaim Noe, who is a great posek died in the 50s, I believe, and was a great posek in Eretz Yisrael. And he's known for shiurim, for the famous shiurim of Rav Chaim Noe. But he writes that was the minhag in Eretz Yisrael. The minhag in Eretz Yisrael was always to light with olive oil. And the Shmir Shabbos kehilchasa, it's also brought down to light with olive oil. And it's a fascinating makor. I'll send it to you on the makoro sheet. It says that the Gra used to always light with olive oil. And he lit so many candles of olive oil, it started to have a negative impact on his health. And the doctors advised him to stop lighting olive oil because he was lighting so with so much olive oil. I don't know exactly what the negative impact was from the scent. I mean, anyone who's ever walked into, you know, a kever in Eretz Yisrael where they light, like Rosh Shem Bar Yochai's kever, so it's a very distinct smell to burning olive oil. However, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah in Chaf Gimel, so Mishnah Berurah questions whether there's really an inyan of olive oil, or it's just that at that time, olive oil was the best fuel in terms of producing a clear light. But nowadays, where we might have other fuels that even produce an even clearer light, or nowadays where wax candles, back then apparently wax candles did not produce such a consistent and clear light. But nowadays where wax candles have excellent light, is there any maila anymore to lighting with olive oil? In the Be'er Heitev, in Ches, so he writes, he first quotes that if you don't have Shemen Zayas, so it's better to use other oils rather than wax. But then he quotes that nowadays, everybody knows that there's nothing wrong with wax because, as he says, Einenu Ros, we see with our own eyes that the light of wax candles is excellent. And therefore, there shouldn't be anything wrong with that. And Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that nowadays he thinks that the wax candles, at least in America, where he was dealing with, light much clearer and much better than olive oil. And therefore, he advises to use wax candles. And in the Sefer, there's the famous Sefer Orchos Rabbeinu that talks about the Anhagos of the Stipler and the Chazon Ish. It writes that in both of their homes, they lit with wax candles. So even though we recorded that the Minhag of Eretz Yisrael was apparently to light with olive oil, but we have an Eidos that the Stipler and the Chazon Ish, they lit with wax candles. So, you know, Mark Kedemarovid, Mark Kedemarovid, everyone can do what their minog is. And Baruch Hashem, I think we spent a bunch of weeks on this. We finished Hadlakas Neiros. And in Mirat Hashem, next week, we will begin discussing the Tfilos Friday night davening.